Morning. I'm not John. You should know that because he's much better looking than I am. But John has asked me to fill in him. I trust you're praying for John, for his health. And we just commit him to the Lord. But it's just been a privilege for me just to fill in last week and again this Sunday. As many of you know, my wife and I, Jeannie and I, we came from Canada 9 years ago. Before that, 25 years serving churches in Canada. Hence, I don't talk like you or like a Kiwi. Talk to Ron and Tanya afterwards. I just love that Kiwi kind of twang that they have. It's lovely. But anyways, next week I'll be in Perth, and the week after that in Tassie. So I get around a bit working with our churches. And it's just a privilege for me to open up God's Word with us this morning. Let me ask you, how do you measure greatness? Just think of the people that you know for a moment. It might be someone that you maybe don't know, but you've heard of. Who do you consider great? I mean, if you could write down three names of people down on a slip of paper, what would those names be? I mean, every year, Time Magazine, they tell us who the greatest people in the world are. And I go back to last year, and they say in 2017, these are the great people. On the current list are people like 37-year-old Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, Heather's very happy about him because that's why we have Facebook. And he's always dreaming up new ideas about computers. And he's rich. In fact, his wealth now is about $54 billion. Are we on? Or did I do that?
Hello, how are you? It's so typical of me to talk about myself, I'm sorry. I hope that you will.
Do you recognize this person, the song Hello? Eldell is the singer-songwriter from Hollywood. She just landed in Sydney yesterday. Very distinctive voice, and such a beautiful style of music. I just love listening to her music. Then there's also the 40-year-old actor and movie producer Ryan Reynolds. As many of you know, he had a starring role in the movie Deadpool, and more recently in the movie Criminal. But did you know that Ryan is from Canada? He is. There's also another Canadian that is mentioned in Time magazine as one of the great people in our days, and it's not the popular new Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Maybe you've seen him. It's another Justin. Maybe you've heard of him, 22-year-old Justin Bieber. Okay, maybe I shouldn't admit that he's from Canada. But you know, people just love his music. I don't know why, but they love it. I mean, Sorry was one of the best songs last year, 2016. And he's made lots of money making music, over $200 million selling records. Now, all of these people, according to Time magazine, they're great people. And it seems that if you really want to be great, you got to have a great voice, you got to be a great actor, or you got to have lots and lots of money. Do you want to be great? Do you want to achieve greatness? This is what the Bible says. Jesus put it like this. He says, if you want to be great, you must become the servant of all. You want to be important? Then serve other people. You want to be a person of influence in this world? Then become less. The road to becoming great is through service. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the habit of service. For those of you who've been here for a while, you know for the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at the habits of grace. These are ways and means that God pours His grace into our lives and through our lives into the world. So far we've looked at three of the habits. We've looked at Bible reading. Just the habit of spending time opening up God's Word and allowing God through His Word and Spirit to speak that Word and apply it into your heart and life. We've talked about the habit of prayer, about the importance of you and I not only allowing God to speak to us, but that we also in turn would have this dialogue that we would talk to God. And last week we looked at the habit of worship, the importance of not neglecting the weekly gathering together of God's people. Oh, it's true, you know, if you're sick and you're in the hospital, we have many shut-ins in a nursing home, they don't have the opportunity perhaps to come weekly, but if you have a choice to make, your choice on a Sunday morning, Sunday evening is to gather together with God's people. Just like you did this morning as you got up and said, I'm going to church today. I'm going to gather together with God's people. You know, all of these things ought to become much more a habit in our lives. Bible reading, prayer, public worship. And I trust that as you've been listening to God through these messages, that you're reading the Bible more. You're spending more time, you know, just quieting yourself before God and talking to Him. And like you did this morning, you've made it a commitment that, you know, the number one thing on a Sunday when God's people gather together is that you're going to make sure that you're there. And today we're going to look at the habit of service. Now the Bible has a lot to say about service. But perhaps the best way to learn what service is all about is to look at the life of Jesus. Jesus Himself said this about Himself. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. We've just been singing about that, haven't we? About the power of the blood, how Jesus Christ came into this world and He just poured Himself out for us. But that's what Jesus did to come. When He came down from heaven to earth, He came not to be served, but to serve. And serve so much that He would even lay down His life for all of humanity. Jesus lived what He taught. Not only was service a habit, but for Jesus it was a way of life. His life was an example of service, and we really see that in a very dramatic way in the Gospel of John chapter 13. Let me just read a few verses in John chapter 13. We're going to pick up reading at verse 12. This is what John tells us. He says, when He, that is Jesus, had finished washing their feet, He put on clothes and returned to His place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call Me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Father, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our heart be truly found pleasing in your sight. God, we really want to meet you through your word today in the person of your Son, Jesus. And through the working of the Spirit, we pray that you would impress these truths upon our lives to your glory and the blessing of your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had gathered with his disciples to celebrate the Passover. It's a very special time of celebration in biblical times. The Passover was a time when every family would gather together and they would remember how God brought salvation to the Jews by rescuing them from the Egyptians, from slavery in Egypt, and setting them free. They would eat the same food and drink the same things that their ancestors drank at the first time they celebrated the Passover as God had directed them. Things like unleavened bread, bitter herbs, and lamb and wine. Jesus had sent two of his disciples ahead of the crowd the 12 to go and to this special place, the upper room, and to prepare the meal. I mean, food had to be cooked, the bread had to be baked, the wine had to be poured. And they would remember how a lamb was slain, and the blood of that lamb was smeared on the doorposts of their home so that the angel of death would pass over them. And that's why it was called Passover. How God protected the people of Israel and set them finally free. Now, one by one, the disciples would walk through the door into the upper room. There they would remember and celebrate Passover with their friend and with their teacher, Jesus. But little were they prepared for what soon would happen. One by one, the disciples, they walked through the door and they noticed by the door that there was this towel and there was this basin and there was water. Now, for you and I, if we walked into a house, we might think that a little bit strange, but not for them. Because back in those days, as they wore sandals on their feet and they would walk on the dusty roads, their feet would be dirty and they would come to a home. And when they would enter into the house, there they would see the basin of water and there would be a towel. And what would happen as they would come is that a servant would be there and would pour water over their feet and would take that towel and wipe their feet dry. It was not the most noble task of all. In fact, it was very much a degrading task. And if there was no servant at the door, then usually one of the first guests would take that job and would take that towel and would wrap that towel around their waist and would wash the feet of the guests that would come to that house. I mean, if a wife would wash the feet of her husband, that would be a sign of deep devotion and love. As it would be of a student doing that for his or her teacher. Someone who was lesser doing it. It was unheard of that someone would do that. Seldom would anyone from a higher status wash the feet of those beneath them. But one by one, the disciples of Jesus entered the upper room. And one by one, they passed that basin of water and the towel. And one by one, they took their place at the table. And all of them had dirty feet. But Jesus noticed. Jesus always sees a need. It might be a woman who is ill, or a man who is lame, or a crowd that is hungry, or friends who have dirty feet. Jesus noticed. I don't know what your need is as you come to worship today, but if you're here with a need, Jesus is here and among us, and He notices you. Don't think for a moment that He doesn't notice. Jesus always sees our needs. And that was when Jesus did something that no one was prepared for. Jesus took off His outer robe and He wrapped Himself with that towel, and then He took that basin of water, and one by one He went to the disciples and He washed their feet, their toes that were caked with dirt and grime. And then Jesus took the towel that He had wrapped around Himself, and after He had washed their feet, He would make sure that He would dry them completely clean. Jesus took that form of a servant as He washed His disciples' feet. Jesus took the role of the servant as He washed the feet of one disciple who had just in a few days even denied that he knows anything about Jesus. This disciple named Peter, he protested. He said, "Lord, you're never going to wash my feet." But Jesus kept pouring the water, reminding Peter of his need to allow Jesus to serve him. Jesus also took the feet of Judas. Judas, the one who would soon betray Him. He did not pass over his feet. Jesus did not look up at him with those grilling eyes full of hatred. Instead, Jesus became a slave and washed the feet of the very man who hours later would sell Him in betrayal for the price of a slave, 30 pieces of silver. One by one, Jesus washed their feet, taking on the form and function of a humble servant. And after Jesus had washed and dried all of their feet, he hung up the towel and he put his robe back on. And as he sat down at the table once more, he asked them, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" Probably not. One by one, they must have been so bewildered and confused by this selfless and reckless act of service. Was Jesus not their Lord and teacher? Why would he stoop so low and wash their toes caked in dirt and dust? And Jesus explains, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set you an example so that you should do exactly as I have done." My friends, you don't have to be a Bible college professor to figure out the point that Jesus is making. The message to his followers then and now is absolutely clear. Unselfish, humble service is simply what Christians do. We wash the feet of people, all kinds of people, protesters, deniers, betrayers, and friends. Everyone. We practice the habit of service. We become servants. We follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was in the very nature, one with God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, to be held on to, but he made himself nothing. That's how far he stooped low, taking the very nature of a servant. We don't, as Christians, just get involved in a service project once a year or once a month so that we could check off our list of spiritual obligations. No, as Christians, we make service a habit of service. We see every day as an opportunity to serve others. We see opportunities all around us to wash away the grime and the mud from our dirt-filled world, to go where Jesus went and do what Jesus did. We become servants. So where can you serve? What should you do? Where? When? How? Well, all around us, there are opportunities to serve. There are circles of service around us. There are people and places that you should think about and that you should pray about for you to practice the habit of service. When Jesus sent his followers out into the world with the good news of salvation, he told them to begin their service and to serve people right where they lived. In Acts 1, we read how he told them to start in Jerusalem. But he says, don't stay in your own postal code. I want you to move out from your own place. And I want you to go out into the neighborhoods, into Judea, people who are very much like you, but live in a different neighboring town or city. The people you go to school with at Griffith University, or the people that you work with at the bank, or at Woolies, or at Centerlink. Notice their needs there. The dirt that is caked in their toes, and wash their feet. But don't stay there either, Jesus says. Go out to people who are not the same like you. They cook different foods, they wear different clothes, and they might speak different languages, but also go after them. Go to Samaria and humbly serve them as well. And maybe they won't be too quick to accept you, and they might have all kinds of protests why you should wash their feet. But lovingly notice and meet their needs, whoever they might be. Don't pass them by because they're different. And keep on going. There's a whole messed up world out there with dirty feet that need washing. Go, says Jesus, go to the ends of the earth. Take off your robe. Take off anything that might hinder you to stoop low to get down on your knees and to wash the feet of people around you and to towel them dry with loving, humble service. Where do you live? Where has God placed you? God might have placed you today in some student housing or an apartment or a senior's home or a house on a street corner in Warner. But wherever that place might be, this is a place where you can begin to serve. Your foot washing begins where you live. I mean, so many people, they see service as something that you do when you go on a short-term mission trip or the church plans a work be somewhere. But you know, the habit of service begins where you eat breakfast and brew your coffee and make your bed. When was the last time that you saw your home as a place of ministry? What might happen if husbands were committed to humbly serve their wives as God called them to notice her needs, and meet those needs with loving servanthood, and not only on Valentine's Day, but noticing those needs every day? What might a home look like if a daughter said to her parents, "You know, this Saturday I have blocked off 2 hours of my day, and I want to do a service project in our house. Could you give me a list of things that I could do to serve you?" And Saturday morning, she takes that list and she wraps the towel around her waist. And she joyfully serves you. Or your partner says to you, "You take the remote control and let's watch what you like." You protest, but she hands you the remote. I mean, what would our homes look like and feel like if each one of us would stop focusing on getting what I need and start to notice what others need and then humbly serve them? Serving begins where you live. But serving doesn't end there. It moves outside the four walls of your home and house to the neighbors around you. Like Jesus, you notice the basin of water and towel at the door and you see dirty feet. But you'll never notice dirty feet unless you first get to know your neighbors. You'll be surprised the needs that you notice when you begin every night praying for your neighbors by name. You pray for their children. You pray for their places where they work. And then when you meet them on the streets, they're no longer strangers. But they're the very people that every night you talk to God about. And you notice. You notice the dirt between their toes. The car that needs to be fixed. The lawn that needs to be cut. The children that need to be mended. The tears that need to be wiped dry. Imagine if every follower of Jesus looked at their neighborhood and all the people who live near them as a place of service. But you know, most of us don't spend a majority of our time each day in our homes and in our neighborhood. Most of us spend the majority of our time at work, at school. You know, work and school, workplaces and school, I mean, these are unique and wonderful places to practice the habit of service. Acts of service in your workplace, at school or at work, I mean, it doesn't have to be huge. Foot washing might mean doing a menial job without grumbling. A dirty job with joy. Helping a struggling student with his math homework. Or working a little longer and a little harder and not asking for extra pay. Just doing anything that God places on your heart. There's countless ways that we could serve at the workplace or at school. And these acts of service are in such a contrast to our society where many people do the least that they can get away with. But the humble washing of one another's feet, whatever that form may take, reflects the heart of Jesus. And it opens up the door for God to show up in our actions, in our attitudes, and even in our words. Our acts of service can be done one-on-one, at home, in the neighborhood, at work, at school. But it also can be done in the community with other Christians. You might have noticed that I have not challenged you and me to serve the church. And in fact, it's not on my list. Why? Because the habit of service is not about you serving the church. You are the church. And we join hands together as the church to serve the community. Oh, it's true that God has gifted every Christian with certain abilities, and God calls you to use these gifts in and through the church. And right now, you might be using your gifts in some ministry at Bray Park, but you know what? You use those gifts to prepare God's people for works of service, to equip people to be foot washers at home, in the neighborhood, at work, and in school. That's what the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 4. God has gifted people in the church so that they will be able to prepare people for works of service. So whether you minister on a worship team or volunteer at kids' church or youth group on a Friday night, whether you clean the facilities or you count the offerings or you prepare coffee or you do whatever other thing you might do in and around the church, all of this is meant to help us all be prepared to serve like Jesus wherever we are. Every local church needs to be involved in serving the community with humble service. Every local church needs to answer the question, if our church would disappear tomorrow, would anybody in the community notice? Ask the people of Warner or Bray Park or Cashmere or Petrie on Pine where we live. Would they notice? They will notice if we, like Jesus, notice their needs and become servants to the community. Service to our community is going to cost time, it's going to cost energy, and it's going to cost resources. But as Christ followers, that's just what we do. We wash the feet of the people in our community for the sake of the one who washed our feet. And when Jesus calls us to follow him, he calls us to extend our service, in fact, to the ends of the earth. Serving in our homes, in our neighborhood, at work, at school, in the community, they're all essential, but we cannot forget the bringing of our towels and basins of water to the far-flung places of the world. And at times, God calls specific people, as he called Scott and Heather and Ron and Tanya, to leave, you know, the comforts of their home in order to go out and to serve people in a distant land. Oh, they might not take a basin of water. Oh, they might do that. There's a lot of dusty feet out there. But they might not wrap a towel, but they might wrap a tool belt around their waist and help a community finally learn how to provide fresh drinking water into some remote villages. Or how to distribute necessary medical supplies that have been donated by people in New Zealand and in Australia so that Red Cross and the hospital there has regular stuff that they could provide for the sick people in their communities. Or to provide an environment whereby people can learn about Jesus through the preaching and teaching of his word and to be equipped as God's people. You know, there are so many ways that you could support those who serve in the Solomon Islands or at the New Life Orphanage in Myanmar, in Burma, or Compassion, the thing that we've taken up as a congregation in Thailand. You know, through your giving, through your praying, and even through your going, supporting existing missions and ministries through all of the things that we do, we can bring acts of service throughout the world. Do you want to be great? be a foot washer. You don't have to know how to sing. You don't have to know how to act. And you don't need a lot of money. All you need to do is to become a servant. Follow Jesus' example and notice the needs all around you, in your home, in your neighborhood, at work, at school, together as a church in this community where God has called us to be salt and light and throughout the world. But don't just notice the needs. Meet those needs through selfless acts of service. Make it a habit of service. And as you serve, you will be blessed. That's what Jesus tells us. He says, now that you know those things, he says, you will be blessed if you do them. See, the blessing is not in knowing, but in doing and being servants. Notice people and wash feet like Jesus did. Now you might wonder, what can I do? I'm just one person. There's so many needs in this world. But you know, one person can do a whole lot. You just do your part. One person can serve and love and care right where they are in their home, in their neighborhood, work, school, community, world. One person can do everything. But every one of us can do something. But make it a habit. A habit to humbly serve and wash feet like Jesus did. Serve as God leads you. And let God take care of the rest. Father, we just thank you so much for the example, Jesus, that you gave to us. Who, though you were in equality with God, you did not hold on to that. But you humbled yourself and stooped down and took off your robe and humbly served us, even to the point of death. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us, as you continue to lead and guide us as a church community, but also as families and as individuals, Lord, help us, Lord, to seize those opportunities, those many circles, and to notice the basin of water, to notice the towel, and to notice the needs, and bring these things together, so that, like Jesus, we would follow in your footsteps. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that we will have in the doing. And, Lord, we just go forward in faith, trusting that as we serve, that, Lord, your kingdom will abound more and more, and that the glory will rise up to the heavens, even as people come to know you better through our acts of service. We pray this all in Jesus' name.